This is Nature Notes, a Maine naturalist afield. I'm Logan Parker, an ecologist and naturalist with Maine Natural History Observatory. Having spent the majority of my life traveling around the Maine woods, often with my head craned skyward tracking the movements of a bird through the canopy, I've become quite familiar with our state's diverse array of tree species, from the lofty white pines to the sprawling bare oaks. Every now and again, however, I'll cross paths with something unfamiliar. A species I either never encountered or, more likely, completely overlooked. Such was the case the first time I became acquainted with the mountain ash, a species of tree I now count among my favorites. I remember the day well. I was bushwhacking from a logging trail upwards along a mountain slope in the wee hours, en route to conduct an alpine bird survey as a technician for the Maine Bird Atlas. After pushing my way through thickets of regenerating spruce fir, I stepped out into a small clearing. Poking out among flattened canes of raspberries and currants were a scattering of gnarled, upright, woody stems. If not for the few pieces of dew-misted greenery glinting in my headlamp, I might not have recognized that they were alive at all. I'd also likely have overlooked the adjacent piles of moose droppings, too. I did pause, however, and took some photographs, surmising that whatever this plant was, it was clearly a preferred bit of forage for the local moose. Returning to my campsite that same day, I thumbed through a copy of Forest Trees of Maine, comparing written descriptions against my images. I determined that the stunted moose-browsed twigs I'd seen were rather underwhelming specimens of American mountain ash, Sorbus americanus, our continent's equivalent of the Old World's rowan tree, or Sorbus aucuparia. Across the Atlantic, European rowan has a long and storied history of usage, and has developed a rich regional folklore and myriad of local names, including the highly appropriate birdberry tree. The use of mountain ash fruits by birds is common among species around the globe. Indeed, the clusters of scarlet fruits are reason enough to pay mind to our own New England rowans. Thrushes, waxwings, grouse, jays, as well as many small mammals partake of the generous bounties provided by these trees. They are particularly beneficial come winter as food sources dwindle. These fruits are particularly favored by Bohemian waxwings, who stage interruptions from their breeding grounds in the Northwest when their own local fruit crops are depleted. Trees belonging to the genus Sorbus are not truly ash trees. That is, they're not closely related to the black ash, white ash, and green ash trees, each belonging to the genus Fraxinus, found in our state's rich bottomlands. While both ashes and mountain ashes bear superficial, similar compound leaves, the latter are members of the rose family, and therefore more closely related to apples than ashes. Over the course of my survey efforts, I would encounter both moose-stunted mountain ash trees, as well as more developed specimens, usually perched on the edges of rocky slopes too steep to permit browsing. When unhindered, this tree takes on a limber and sinuous form, complete with many smooth bark branches and crowned in dark greenery. Each spear-tip-shaped leaflet is edged with a series of fine, saw-like teeth. In summer, clusters of snow-white flowers are held sunward like tiny parasols, attracting the attention of many bees, flies, and other insects. I'd often choose resting places beneath these trees, from which I could watch as they swayed in the rising alpine breeze. Here, the filtered sunlight could scatter across the moist carpet of sphagnum, bunchberry, and clintonia. Having crossed paths with enough mountain ashes, I began to notice that some individuals consistently bore stouter, more ovate leaflets. Revisiting my guide, I found that these individuals were another mountain ash species altogether, Sorbus decora, or the showy mountain ash. In form and habit, the tree is much like the American kin. It, too, is capable of flourishing on rocky slopes and trailside openings. Of the two species native to New England, this showy species is the more northerly distributed tree, with a range extending further northward on the Canadian Shield. It is one of the few hardy tree species found within the few forested valleys of southwestern Greenland. In the years since, I've encountered many mountain ash trees of both species while traveling and working within the Western Mountains, the North Maine Woods, and along the Downeast Coast. When our first child was on the way, I planted a few saplings of each species that I'd collected beside our home. Should these trees thrive, perhaps we can look forward to sitting beside our wood stove on some far-off winter's day and watching for waxwings among the red rowan fruits just outside our window.
That was Nature Notes, a Maine naturalist afield from the Maine Natural History Observatory. This program was produced by Glenn Middlehauser. The theme music is Keeper of the Light by Hallie Pottle Parker, performed by Hallie Pottle Parker and Kate Pottle. For more information, you can go to mainenaturalhistory.org. You can find more episodes of Nature Notes on the WERU archive or wherever you get podcasts.